All right, welcome to the program tonight. In case you missed the BS, that's the name of the podcast now. My guest is Patrick Jordan. You can find his information over at vaccinefraud.com. You know, like somewhere in between 15 to 20 books, research every day, nonstop. I'm lucky to, our paths crossed. I'm so lucky to have had that happen. And, on YouTube, you can find his videos at vaccinefraud.com. One word, right? Just one word. Vaccinefraud.com. You can see all of his videos over there, that go from soup to nuts, from A to Z. And, we're going to be talking about some things tonight. But first, what we're going to do is welcome Patrick and what's on your radar.
Well, thank you, Sholly, and hello, listeners. This is kind of like boxers, where they tend to like bounce up and down to, you know, not be able to be hit by the other guy. But if you actually do catch him on the up or the down swing,
right,
you can get through their defenses. And you and I, we tried to record a show earlier, and Skype had just updated, and it didn't work. It seems like the fates conspire against us, but I'm glad to be here. Mm-hmm. And if you want to get right into it, there are a couple topics that I just wanted to get out to everybody, because in my estimation, and as you say, I work on average 17 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I've been doing that for 20 years. That'll wear you out, especially when you're doing 20 to 26 hour stretches at a time. Mm-hmm. So my analysis is this. This insane corona BS is nothing but a cover for the true pandemic of Lyme disease, which started in the 1940s and encompasses 25 different organisms that originally came from arthropod bites, insect bites, but now, from all the data that I've seen, and especially from LymeNet Europe, it is, now listen to me, everybody, it is a communicable disease through every fluid of the human body. And you will find, because you know what I do, Sholly, it's called meta-analysis. I go out there, I get data from disparate sources, and I do the synthesis on it. I that's all I do all day, is I collect data, and I'm looking at the patterns, and I'm going, oh my God, you don't even have to be bitten by a tick, because you'll see that. Now, here's the dichotomy. You can have like a little itch, and it could have been a tick nymph that drew blood, gave you disease, and then fell off, because they do that. You know, people call them when you're out in the woods the no-see-ems. So you get a bite, you get an itch, and you don't think about it, and you don't see the bullseye rash, you don't see a blood-engorged tick, and you figure, well, I can't get Lyme because I didn't get bit. Well, think about kissing somebody. Think about sweat. Think about nasal discharge. Think about any fluid of the human body now able to transmit 25 different collective organisms. And this is what I synthesize, Sholly. To me, it's revelatory. People should be taking what I'm saying, and most people do. They take it and they make it their own, and they don't give me credit. But they should take what I say and spread it to the world, that now we can look at the original was Borrelia. That's just one organism out of 25. Then we got Bartonella, cat scratch fever. Then we got Babesia, which I'm going to talk about very soon. And we've got Brucella. We've got all of these organisms that can then be the answer. So I'm sorry I keep like doing flashbacks.
No apologies, man.
In the 1990s, when I was working for a chiropractor, I literally Charlie, listen to me. I literally read Boyd's Pathology cover to cover every day for breakfast until I got the parasite bit, and I stopped reading it for breakfast. I read that book, and it would name a disease, and almost across the board it would say etiology unknown, which means we don't know what causes it, but here's the name of the disease, this is how it progresses, and this is the drug you throw at it. Charlie, if you don't know what causes it, you're just pissing in the dark, and you're going to get your own leg wet. And I'm looking at all this stuff, etiology unknown, and because I've got like a steel trap for a mind, I told you I've been doing this 20 years straight without a break.
Yeah.
I'm looking at all these diseases. I'm studying Borrelia, Bartonella, Brucella, Babesia, and I'm going, oh, my God, every one of these diseases can be picked up and put on a name of a disease that has etiology unknown, and all of a sudden, from the 1940s till now, we can describe nearly all the known diseases as being part of a bio-warfare program that started in the 1940s, unleashed on homeland soil.
Okay.
Oh, I like that ding in the background. Yes. That was epic.
I got it. Yeah, it was perfect timing, yes.
So what I want to cover here now is that because there's convincing evidence that Lyme disease, which is not just that one organism, Lyme disease is a communicable disease. It is a worldwide pandemic.
Really?
And corona is the cover for that pandemic. Because if you get people freaking out about, oh, a common cold is going to shut down the world, you're not thinking about, well, the whole damn world has been polluted and dying, literally dying of named diseases because, okay, so war is a crime. Whoever was involved, you know, they blame the Nazis, but Operation Paperclip brought it in to the United States, so we're talking about domestic terrorism.
Right, right.
And they unleashed it on the American soil. It spread from there to the entire world. That's a crime. Fraud and murder have no statute of limitations. So these motherfuckers, and I'm sorry if this is a family show.
No, man. Roll it out.
I don't care if it's in this life or if there is a next. They're in for it because they are. It's a criminal conspiracy in the literal meaning of that word.
Right, yeah.
So it's everywhere in everybody. That's what I assume. I'm not going to care about a Western blot test. I'm not going to care about an ELISA test. I'm not going to care about any kind of confirmation. From what I've seen, I just presume everybody has it. So what did I do? Well, I live the way that I operate. So if I presume everybody has it, that means I have it. Well, I just worked myself through a tier of health-improving systems. Let's do it. Parasite cleanse has always been number one since the 1990s. And I'll explain why that's so important in a little bit. And then you do a bowel cleanse. And then you do a liver cleanse. And I had to work up to what a lymph cleanse is because I've studied the gurus for, you know, decades.
Right, right.
And I don't think they could find their hands with both. I guess they could. They couldn't find their hands with both ass cheeks.
Right, right.
I had to pioneer my own lymph cleanse. Well, when you do that, you're in unknown territory. So what did I do, Charlotte? Got all the way through my liver cleanse, and I pretty much resolved my lifelong chemical allergies. And in doing so, I created more problems for myself. We could go over that if you want to talk about just me. Hey, let's make this about me. We could do a whole show on how I improved my health and caused problems doing it so that other people could avoid, you know, my mistakes.
Yeah, man.
But what I did is I got rid of my chemical allergy. I went after the Lyme. How did I do that? I started taking pine resin and cayenne pepper.
Cayenne pepper.
Cayenne pepper makes things like H. pylori, which is a spirochete. So people are going to have to keep up with me, Shelley. I'll explain that a spirochete is a specific phyla of what they call bacteria. It really isn't. And those little corkscrews, they're cousins with syphilis and Lyme, the Borrelia. So I was chasing H. pylori out of my stomach, and the absolute revelation, that the unexpected consequence of that was I had all my life terrible problems with my appendix. Never had appendicitis, never had my appendix taken out, but oh my God, it can ruin your life, and it did. It was part of that chemical allergy complex.
Right, right.
But the hot pepper chased it out. Now, because I know so much, I've been doing this work for 40 years, I knew that if I chased it out with pepper, because it's just, okay, so one of the reasons why the Mexicans eat so many hot foods is because it will keep their bowels clean of adult roundworms.
Of adult
it's,
what?
It's a cultural thing.
Of adult what, did you say?
Roundworms.
Okay, worms. Okay.
Worms don't like a hostile environment.
No.
So it's a cultural thing. Even in China, they eat a lot of hot foods, like Sichuan is extremely hot. Mm. They're doing it for health, because a worm doesn't want to live where the cayenne is coming down.
Right, yeah.
And I knew that it was a deterrent. It won't kill them. It just makes the body an unfavorable place. But see, a worm can bore. A spirochete is literally a corkscrew, and it can bore. And I said to myself, I'm not going to let you be a dumbass and chase it from one compartment of your body to another. So I've taken the pine resin. And I had to work my way up. I tell you what, 5% pine resin, it took me a year to get through one. I forget how big they are. Let's just say that they're like 6-ounce bottles. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. Really small bottle. It took me a year to get through that because I'm still working through my chemical allergy. I'm on 30% resin right now. And if your oral health is clean, it actually tastes good. If not, it's about makes you spit. It's that bad. It smells and tastes like pine saw floor cleaner.
Okay.
But what I did is, because, you know, I work with my red hens. These are selfless, altruistic, the best people on the planet. And they helped me with research. And we were looking into the effects of alcohol on the body. And in doing so, there are two things. Now, I'm not going to advocate the first one. There are two things that thin your lymphatic fluid: alcohol and turpentine.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to do the second one either, because that's dangerous as hell.
Well, but I have heard things about turpentine just within the last 6 months. And
the good things, the bad things.
Good things. Okay. But again, you know, in small amounts. And then somebody said, what a Vicks Vapor Rub has turpentine in it. And that it was at one point something that was used that had health benefits. And then just like a number of things in our lifetimes and lifetimes before, they've been hidden and we've been steered away from them.
Well, and see, we can go to the Merck manual. I mean, the Merck medical manual. And in the 1800s, they did have turpentine listed with a spoonful of sugar to make the medicine go down as a tapeworm expeller.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't know that it would kill it, but it makes it unfavorable for the tapeworm to be there. So historically, it's there. And I've known farmers out here that would, when they were kids, they would be given sugar, and their parents would pour turpentine on there, and they would take it.
Okay, yep.
My biggest concern, though, Sholly, is that people are idiots.
Yes.
And in this day and age, I'm seeing people that are 50 years and older literally showing the signs of autism. I'm not kidding you on this. They have no cognitive skills. They have, repetitive, unproductive behaviors. You ask them a question, and they could be behind the counter working. You know, we're talking functional adults.
Yeah.
You can't even answer a question.
Yeah, and the cell phones aren't helping at all either on a large scale.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. So when I talk about you know, I'm not going to advocate the use of alcohol to thin your lymph. When I talk about, I'm not going to advocate the use of turpentine, because there's so many idiots out there that would go to a hardware store, get turpentine, and probably blow out their kidneys. Now, listen to my approach on this, because I'm always trying to do things gentle. I'm trying to do it right.
Right.
I'm trying not to harm myself.
Right. Do it slow. Do it slow. And so you don't have, like, this mass die-off thing happen where then you just get, like, sick.
So I won't use turpentine because I know it. My entire life has been chemistry. So I know what turpentine is. I know that you can get, like, boutique-grade distilled turpentine that may be less harsh than any other substance out there. Mm-hmm. But there's this thing called synergy, where many chemicals, as found naturally in the plant, work together as opposed to distilling, because that's what turpentine is. You can have different vapor points for different grades of turpentine, and you're looking at different chemicals within those distilling points. And so I'm not going to chance, did I get the right turpentine? I'm going to take pine resin, put into pine oil, and I get the full complement of everything that was in the plant, because there are terpenes beyond the turpentine that's in the pine resin.
Cool.
So point being that these terpenes will thin your lymph. So I didn't go into the stupid, but see, life is like malicious and malevolent. I didn't do it uninformed. I didn't do it rashly. I wasn't going to the hardware store and getting some sugar cubes. I did it in a stepwise fashion. I got excellent results. My appendix that was bothering me for my entire lifetime was like miraculously cleared by the hot pepper. And because I was using the pine resin, I was trying, listen to my words, I was trying to ensure that the little bastards didn't go from one compartment of my body into my lymphatic system to hide,
right,
because I was using the lymph cleaner. And everything was going well, Sally, I'm not kidding you, until
it's good to hear.
I discovered that my lower extremities were swelling. I'm a stick man. You know, people know me for my little icon. It's kid's drawing of the stick
love
man.
It. The simplicity
that is
of it.
Me. Okay, that's a self-portrait. That is 100% accurate, including the bad hair.
Right, right.
I have never had edema. I have never had swelling. I have never had my skin feel so tight that it was just painful to, like, exist.
Right.
Because it felt like I was a water balloon filled up beyond its capacity just before birth.
Okay.
And so I had to look into it. What in the hell is going on? I was doing everything right, and I determined that what had happened is the little bastards had gone from one compartment into my lymph, and they weren't welcome in my lymph, and where did they have to go? It's called the interstitium. And what's weird, Sholly, I've been doing this work for, like I said, well over 40 years, but after my mom got kidney disease, this is all I've done for the past 20 years. They just recently declared the interstitium, which is connective tissue filled with water in between the cells. They just declared it a new organ. Hey, we didn't know this was an organ system. So I literally, unknown to myself, chased the buggers from my internal organs into my lymph, into my interstitium. Now, the reason why this is so fascinating,
mm-hmm,
is because the interstitium is made up of collagen and water. Now, there's a, what is it called, documentary called Under Our Skin.
Yeah.
And it is the history. Have you seen it, Charles?
I've heard of it, and it's about Lyme disease, okay, right?
It's about Lyme. And what is the characteristic of Bartonella, which is cat scratch fever, and Borrelia, which they falsely label as Lyme? They love to eat connective tissue. I chase these buggers out from wherever they were hiding into heaven, and I'm paying hell for it because I didn't know the interstitium was its own organ system. I didn't know that they would retreat so fast from my, it was a full court press, mm-hmm. that they got into my lower extremities, that my knees, oh my God. Because see, I do a lot of physical labor. I can kneel out in the garden in 90 plus weather with the sun beating on me. I'll wear knee pads, or I'll bring out a pillow or whatever. There are times when you can't get up if you can get down, or there's times when you can't even get down because the knees won't bend. Mm. The knees are like a favorite hangout of Lyme disease. And, in fact, that's the case definition that they invented to keep people from ever learning that they have Lyme. And then they label them and send them out to some good Yehudi mind shrink. To mm-hmm. say, oh, you got a psychological disorder because you can't have all those problems.
Right.
So the knees are joints. The joints are made of connective tissue. The in between your cells is the connective tissue. Mm-hmm. And what I've noticed now is that I've chased it in a compartment that I haven't learned enough about to either seek and destroy or chase it out of there. To keep it moving until it just exits the body because it's got no place to live.
Does it help so to take collagen to replace and put collagen in there or no?
Well, okay, so I love it when you do that. You bring up the next logical piece of the puzzle.
I mean, if they're eating it.
They're eating it, okay? Now, all I do is consume data all day, and what you'll find out is that veterinarians are scared to death of Lyme. Because literally, veterinarians are getting Lyme from their clients, their patients, their animals
right.
that they work. And vets are getting sick and dying. So when I say they're scared to death, I ain't kidding, man. And so there are two really big names, Bright Schwartz and Horowitz. And they're talking about Lyme within the veterinary community, and because of their expertise, they're branching out into humans as well. And they said they were conflicted on, well, if these creatures are eating connective tissue, should we be using things like bone broth? Should we be using collagen? And they thought, well, if we restrict it, then we won't feed little bastards. Well, that just means that he eats the host.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to tell you a couple things, and I'm going to tie some of this into the work of Clint Richardson, who had groundbreaking stuff that he and I were working on prions a long time ago. And I never had answers until until I fucked myself up. Then I had to look for answers. So Bright Schwartz and Horowitz will say, well, we realized that the clients, whether it was humans or animals, were just wasting away. So they did supplement with bone broth, which is collagen. When we bring Clint and I's work into it in the realm of prions, Shally, you would have to get grass-fed bovine spongiform encephalopathy verified free, I mean prion-free supplement. Otherwise, you're eating prions into your body.
Right.
To do what? To stem the tide of a biological warfare agent that was released on the world in the 1940s. This is why I say the universe is malevolent and malicious, because in order to palliate, and this is a good word everybody should learn, there's no cure here. Taking collagen won't cure anything. It will palliate the losses while you're trying to eliminate a bioweapon that caused losses in the first place. And at the risk, this is like Greco-Roman trickster god, what do I want to say? It's like the false choice. Okay, do you want Lyme or do you want prion disease? Take your choice. Oh, wait, if you eat collagen, if you eat boiled bones, you might get both.
Yeah, so I kept on thinking about bone broth and everything like that, and I'm thinking maybe that's not a real good thing to ingest, you know?
Well, and see, here's the reason why. Anything you say, because I've been doing this so long, I can give you the clinical description of why it's problematic. because a prion will not thermally degrade until you've reached 1,542 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, Sholly, you tell me, what's the boiling point of water?
I want to say it's somewhere like in between 300 and 350 degrees.
Well, maybe in a pressure cooker, which had been outlawed because of the Boston Marathon. But 212 at standard atmospheric pressure, mm-hmm, is what I want to say. So, right, like if you're on the flatland of Illinois, you're lucky to get water boiling at 212. 212 to 1,542, you ain't going to touch prions. So you can boil those commercial bones all damn day long. And, see, I've got I'm always at a loss for adjectives. I got this ambivalence for people that are trying to do the right thing, but they're doing the wrong thing with the good intent.
Right.
So they want to do the right thing. They want to eat boiled bones. That's okay. But if you didn't know you were eating prions into your body, who do we blame, Sholly? The person that didn't investigate enough, or the idiots that are selling this stuff to people?
Well, yeah,
your health. Yeah. Eat collagen. Well, nobody ever bothered to say that since 1945, we've all fallen victim to a bioweapon, and that's the reason your collagen is gone. Okay, so this is the part that really disturbs me about human beings. They've got so much amnesia. They're so zombified that they never bothered to ask, why is my collagen breaking down?
You're just getting old.
Exactly. I've been to doctors. You know, before I gave up the entire political system, the entire medical system, which is the same thing, by the way, I've had doctors tell me, well, that's not unusual for a man of your age. Which, you know, I was smart back then. I knew that was total bullshit. Mm-hmm. It's a cover-up. And why did they have to cover it up, Sholly? Because it is an act of war, and that's a crime. And crimes can be prosecuted. So there's no doubt in my mind that hospitals, clinics, and doctors may have been given national security letters that say, if you even acknowledge that somebody has Lyme, we will make you and your family disappear. Because Lyme, hey, listen, I've lost a couple friends to Lyme. And one of them committed suicide because their family didn't believe them. The doctors would not acknowledge it. They would not do the tests. Where do you go with something like that? You're surrounded by an entire society that is basically saying Santa Claus exists. And you go, no, he doesn't. Yes, he does. And when you're in pain every day and nobody believes you, what other options do you have? And I've seen stats online that mostly people don't die of the disease. They die of suicide because right, they're in such dire straits and nobody will believe them. There is no support. It's mm-hmm, like, well, what's the point of even being here?
Right.
So that's why, you know, I sound like I'm in my manic phase because I haven't gotten any sleep. But beyond that, it's this important. We're at war, Sholly. And yeah, the whole corona thing should have, like, been the bit slap to wake everybody up to say, yeah, we really are at war. But see, the corona is a cover-up for the Lyme. Lyme is the real thing. Corona is just a damn head cold. And we will go into that in just a little bit, if right, you don't mind.
No, no, it's fine.
I wanted to finish my thoughts mm-hmm on, okay, so what I would like to do, and I use these public formats to solicit people to say, hey, you have any knowledge of biology? You got any knowledge of Lyme? Let's look into this together. I was stupid enough to chase it into my interstitium. How do I get it out? Because right now I don't know. Now, what I am doing, and this is the beautiful part. So, you know, all this ties together and continuum. There's no one fact that I will say that doesn't tie into the next. What I am doing is continuing to do what I've done since 1994, I think, mm-hmm, doing parasite cleanses that I learned from Holder Clark. And I'll tell you why in a little bit. But because I always consult Holder Clark, I looked into the swelling that I had, and it can get pretty bad. And Holder Clark said, hey, if you got edema, take some stress off of your adrenal glands and get rid of the edema by taking vitamin B5, which is pantothenic acid, mm-hmm. which can be in its active form as pantothenate. That's why I was having trouble with that.
Okay.
So I was taking five, and the really gross swelling went down. Now I just feel tight, which is uncomfortable in itself. And people, Charlie, I'm sorry that I'm dominating this conversation.
No. I mean, as I said, this is what's on your radar is what's the most important thing to talk about.
Bring up anything that you want to interrupt mm-hmm. me. It doesn't matter. What I want to do is like.
Is it fluid? Is it water? Is it?
Say it again.
Is it fluid water in your feet, in your lower legs?
I had to study it because it's like, well, how the hell is this actually happening? And from my understanding, there are very few causes of swelling. And one of them is the lymphatic system gets plugged like hair in a drain.
Mm-hmm.
And the lymph fluid has no place to go. So it literally just leaks out of the lymph vessels and fills that interstitium. And so that's what I think was going on. Mm-hmm. Because, listen, I will not do tests. I will not go to a doctor. I taught myself a form of muscle testing where I can literally have a conversation with my own body. And so the messages that come back is you chase little bastards into the most distal regions of your lymph, and they plugged it up like hair in a drain, and the fluid had no place to go. So it infiltrated what we would call, you know, the skin. It just infiltrated the tissue around it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's lymph fluid. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's made up of water and protein and.
Right.
So the thing that is, Holder Clark says, take vitamin B5. So I did, and the gross swelling has diminished considerably.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel tight. And the other thing that I want to let people know is when I walk, my feet feel like there's sand inside my skin. Weird as hell. But these are the kind of things that people can identify with and go, oh, my God. I've had that since, you know, such and such date. And what I'm trying to say, Charlie, okay, let's send people to my YouTube channel, Vaccine Fraud.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that vitamin B1 deficiency, which was called beriberi, is rampant across the world.
Yep.
Things like congestive heart failure,
mm-hmm.
that's probably what beriberi. What I'm mm-hmm. experiencing in my lower extremities is probably a form of wet beriberi that, guess what, might have had its roots in Lyme disease all the way back when they first named the disease.
Right. Yeah, I remember because, that. I remember watching that video, listening to it. And it just blew me away. And I sent you an email saying, wow, like, wow.
Yeah, I remember that. And the reason is, Charlie, because we have been under military assault and they've been covering this stuff up. What if, this is the postulate, what if I'm right? What if most, not all, what if most congestive heart failure was just B1 deficiency mm-hmm. and all these people are going on drugs and literally being killed by doctors mm-hmm. because they needed vitamin B1?
And you cited a number of different examples of the thiamine, right? B1 thiamine.
Yep.
Being administered and then, you know, massive, you know, reversal of whatever was happening.
Exactly. So I'm on an active form that you can buy as a supplement with miracles. Listen, I went to vitamin B1 because I knew that I was deficient just by all the signs and symptoms. But I was looking for it. For why? Because I'm a stick man and I wanted to gain weight.
Mm, right, you know that's right. It was about weight gain, yeah.
didn't gain a damn ounce. And I'm not kidding on that. Not an ounce. But I had cerebral salt wasting syndrome because I used to work construction. And I've fallen off of ladders. I've fallen off of roofs. When you damage the brain, you can basically urinate out sodium at really high levels and never have a single thing wrong with your kidneys. Because there was nothing wrong with my kidneys, but I would salt my food so that you couldn't even see the food for the layer of salt.
Yeah, you were saying that you would consume so much, but never a result.
And that was just to keep from having cramps.
Right.
I would have to replace that much salt because I was wasting it. Cerebral salt wasting syndrome is from head damage. And I went on the B1, and within a month, it's like, wait a minute, it sneaks up on you. Now, people that are into drugs, they'll know what I'm saying if I say creeper weed, because, you know, they smoke it. I don't smoke. They'll smoke a certain kind of marijuana, and they don't notice they're high until they're completely wasted because it crept up on you.
Yeah.
My cerebral salt wasting syndrome slowly diminished to the point where I stopped using salt. I mean, after 20 years, Charlie, that's a freaking miracle.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're looking at wet edema for heart conditions. I mean, wet beriberi for heart conditions, congestive heart failure, edema. We're looking at dry beriberi for neurological disorders. Who do you know that doesn't have nerve problems? Everybody I know has that.
Yeah.
Could it be as simple as just a B1 deficiency?
Right, right.
Correctable. And people are being sent to, like, psychiatrists and psychologists for something that simply B1 might be able to remedy. And, of course, you know, we have to make the disclaimer, Sholly. I'm not a doctor. I can't give medical advice. Everything I say is just me playing Dr. Frankenstein on myself and reporting about it.
Right. Yeah.
So that's B1. I was taking B5. The swelling went down. I'm functional, which is to say, one of the reasons why I'm in my manic phase is because I don't get any sleep. And yesterday, I spent like 6 hours in the garden in 90-plus degrees weather, sweating my butt off, and I don't have a butt. And I was kneeling the whole time. I had like little foam knee pads on. I was pulling weeds for like 6 hours straight and completely exhausted. But even though I got up slow, my knees worked. And I attribute that just to adding the B5 to my regimen. So we have ways of, again, palliation. But what I'm looking for the listeners is anybody that can help us with seeking and destroying. Because everything that I've seen, and I got to give a shout out to a woman that I only know secondhand her work. Mel Thornburg is a freaking genius. And there's a bunch of people out there, the ladies from Lyme Crime, they are of the opinion that these organisms are indestructible. Now, I've only been working on this for a little bit of time. I don't know that that's true or not. And I respect these ladies, the two ladies from Lyme Crime and Mel Thornburg. I respect their work. But Patrick Jordan has not been on the Lyme circuit long enough to say we can or cannot kill them. But it is my mission to absolutely extinct these little bastards. Because let's do some historical work now, shall we?
Sure.
My other video series is on Jenner's sons. Everybody should watch those. There's five videos in that series. And in it, we know for a fact that when Jenner took unknown pus from cows and people and scratched it into other people, he transferred syphilis. Syphilis is a corkscrew. Syphilis is a spirochete. So all these vaccine apologists that should really literally face summary execution, firing, they are advocating the continuance of the human race being infected with syphilis. Now, Lida Matman, was, she's dead now. She was the world's foremost authority on spirochetes. I've got her book, $250 textbook. I read the first 10 pages of it, Shelley, and I did a video on that about how I lost 47 years of academic education within reading the first 10 pages of her book. Everything I knew was wrong. Can you imagine 47 years of schooling and now I have to unlearn it? Because she told us the way things are in life. And so if they're killable, I'll find out. I'm only one guy and I can only work like 26 hours at a time before I collapse. So I'm still working on through Lyta's textbook. I'm probably about 30 or 40 pages in.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, and she said this on a video, and if anybody wants background material, just, you know, write to me. I'll give you the citations. I've got Lyta's YouTube video as, you know, I've got like cut and paste stuff. I can just grab it, cut and paste it to anybody that's interested.
Mm-hmm.
She said on a panel that syphilis, tuberculosis, and leprosy never went away. They merely went stealth with the use of antibiotics. So what that means, Shelley, is that every man, woman, and child that was ever exposed to the organisms in the wild or were vaccinated, because Hawaii had absolutely no leprosy. They're isolated islands in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yeah.
They had no leprosy until they brought vaccination to the island, and then it went rampant. Leprosy never went away. Tuberculosis never went away. Syphilis never went away. They just went, they're called stealth organisms, but it's also known as cell wall deficient or L form.
Mm-hmm.
Antibiotics made them invisible to our immune system.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we've all got it.
No doubt.
I mean, isn't that the scariest damn thing you've ever heard? I'm writing a book called Homeopathetic on homeopathy. In the 1800s, Samuel Hahnemann, the guy that invented homeopathy, said that we all have a syphilitic miasm. Now, back in those days, they didn't have clinical science like we do. They had different words that meant something to them. What he meant it to be was there was an inherited disease state that people got. And the miasm meant it kind of like not necessarily ran in families, but it ran within the human race, that if you had something that had all of the hallmarks of syphilis, then you would have to treat the syphilis miasm, that thing that stuck with you. But now that we have clinical science, we know that that son of a bitch, Jenner, that, you know, if there was a time machine, my number one thing to do would be go back in time and kill Jenner. He scratched it into everybody he had access to. And from that time forward, the human race has never been free of syphilis, ever. And I presume just, and isn't this beautiful? I'm saying that probably everybody on the planet has Lyme. It's a spirochete. And now with historical evidence, we can say that probably everybody on the planet has syphilis, which is a spirochete. Is anybody noticing a pattern here?
Right.
So we've got to find out how to seek and destroy them, because here's the kick in the ass. This is part that's going to make people scared. There's a lot of people with Lyme will do like insane doses of antibiotics.
Right.
It only makes it worse.
Yep.
It takes the cell wall off and makes it invisible to the immune system. And now the little bastards can go into your cells, in between your cells. It can get into the interstitium. It can have a field day eating your collagen all day long, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it because your immune system can't see it.
Right.
Now let's do something, Shelley, because you, me, and Clint, we have a long history together.
Yeah.
Clint put out a paper where he, and sometimes it only takes like a brief mention. He was doing a paper on I almost said Klingons. Paper on prions, and in it he mentioned SOD being prionized, cyanide, superoxide dismutase,
right?
that absolutely fascinated me. And once I get something like that in my head, it never goes away. But I couldn't figure out how they did it, because in chemistry, mechanism of action is the holy grail. That makes you nearly God if you know how things are done.
Right.
Because you can either do them or undo them based on the mechanism of action. And so that stayed with me for years, and it wasn't until a couple months ago that I had found that Lyme disease, it actually likes SOD, because the body is a one-trick pony. It's only got one response to infection and chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
If it sees something, it throws oxygen at it.
Right.
So the oxygen radical should burn it up. It's like a kid in diapers with a flamethrower.
Mm-hmm.
It's all grinny, and it's got a thing on the trigger, but you don't want to be anywhere in front of that grinning kid, because it will burn up everything in sight. But that's what the body does. It sees an infection, oxygen radical. Mm-hmm. It's called reactive oxygen species.
Right.
It sees a chemical, it'll try to burn it up.
Yeah.
And in doing so, there's this thing called collateral damage. Your cells will get hurt. Things that weren't infected will get hurt. Well, that's what SOD is for. Superoxide dismutase, mm-hmm. followed by glutathione, should clear up the little kid in diapers with the flamethrower.
Yeah, Mikovits mentioned a number of these things. She mentioned glutathione. She also mentioned, and I suggest that if you can find the time over at, what is it? Oh, Christ, LondonReal.tv.
Uh-huh.
LondonReal.tv. Go there, click on the episodes, and then it'll just ask you to put an email address in, and then it'll take you to any number. He's been interviewing, like, everybody. He's been interviewing, mm-hmm. He's had Mikovits on twice. I really want both you and Clint to absorb what she's saying.
I've seen one of those. Go ahead.
Clint said to me, the last time that I spoke to him, that he said the closest thing to what I've been studying is what Mikovits has been saying. So he kind of made a connection there, and I was happy to hear that. And and he also said, listen, I want to put together a subscription website to do a program. And he said I want to do shows with you. He said, and I want to do shows with Patrick. So this is the 11th hour, man. It's 2 minutes to midnight.
Oh, listen, we're at war, and what you're doing is you're assembling the Justice League for those that are into Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
So, Sholly, what are we at war with? Okay, there's evil people that bioprospected the Borrelia. Mm-hmm. They released it as Lyme. It was Pandora's, most evil expellations from the box that everything got out. And it almost seems at times that the U.S. government, which is a terrorist organization, fucks up really bad, and the only answer to it is to try to cover it up. But there's times when you think, okay, they've got this high science, but I think it got loose, and even they can't control it. That's the impression that I get. So the ones that released it are going, oh, shit, oh, that got away. Okay, cover it up. Hey, can we do something with Corona? Just to get people's attention off the fact that the entire world is now, and I'm make it grim for you. The entire world is now under the doom. I'm always at loss for the adjective. The doom of chronic Lyme disease. Chronic,
okay.
Lyme disease. Go ahead.
Well, what Mikovits was saying was that she feels that the reason that this is happening now is that they're trying to cover up from the XMRV, the retroviruses, And okay. She talked about something.
Because we'll get there.
She also mentioned ME. She almost mentioned something called ME that was that she equated to all of the. They called it the yuppie flu, which was chronic. Just chronic pain or chronic. They used to call that what was it? Chronic fatigue. But she.
Epstein-Barr.
Yeah, well, she.
We're back to Mel Thornburg. Yeah, go ahead.
Did you only see one? Did you see the first Mikovits one?
I can't remember if it was one or two. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, she definitely mentions that, but go ahead and continue.
Charlie, write a handwritten note to get back to the XMRV.
Okay.
We've got to, because this ties the whole history together. But what I'm trying to do is paint a picture of how desperate this situation is. Because there's a point when I study microbiology and I go, wow, there's some elegance here. Even if it's evil, there is some elegant structures going on.
Mm-hmm.
And there is some elegant chemistry that the little bastards can take our SOD, the superoxide dismutase. And this is why I try to do this in a stepwise fashion so people can follow us, that the body has only one response to infection. That's to blast it with the flamethrower of oxygen radicals. But it's got the backup, okay? After you do that, then you bring out the fire extinguisher. That's SOD and glutathione, and things should be okay. Except the reason that the body is blasting with the flamethrower is because of the damn Lyme. But the Borrelia of Lyme can literally pick up the SOD like a shield and protect itself with our own bodily metabolites.
Right.
And see, I've been doing this for so long. I know chemistry and biology so intimately. I go, how the fuck do you fight something like that? It's using our own body to protect itself against us. So that's why I'm looking for the kill shot. I don't want to strike up a deal with this thing. I don't want to live in peaceful coexistence with it. I want to be able to destroy it utterly. And go ahead.
Well, what Mikovits was saying is that she's not anti-vaccine, but what she is saying is that there could be something that could reverse what's going on. And it may,
Lyme and ladies into this, because they say that the outer surface proteins of just Borrelia are fungal antigens. Now, let's look at this from a biowarfare point of view. How in the fuck can the phyla of Spirochetus have fungal antigens on its outside unless it was engineered in a lab? And they go on to say that these fungal antigens so disable our immune system that even that flamethrower response isn't capable. You with me? Because I'm trying to make people feel really grim because the situation is this grim.
Yeah. But what do they call that thing when it's some kind of the cytokine storm, where it just it just goes nuts? And she mentioned that a number of times, that this cytokine storm happens, like the immune system overreacts and just destroys the body.
Okay, so you want to go there? If you want to go there, son, we're going there. So now we're going to go to 1972. You can find it on my website, vaccinefraud.com. It's under free PDFs, and you look for the 1972 WHO memos. In 1972, the WHO, the fucking veterinary to the world, that are criminals, they are biocidal criminals that need to be stopped. They had an internal memo, this wasn't for public consumption, where they were studying how to create kidney disease.
Right.
Glomerulonephritis is what my mother had.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's do some name dropping and share some love. Angry Castle had sent me a book by Joe Spener. It's called Rockefeller Regionalism, The Shadow Behind Oregon's LCDC. And in it, he had tons and tons of, newspaper clippings that were photocopies and photocopies of the WHO memos, and I just about lost it when I saw these WHO memos because I knew exactly what they meant. And in my website, I have some web pages that are called 123Dead and 123Live, and it picks up on the 1972 WHO memos to say this is what they did. Charlie, they either bred mice or injected them with substances that shut off their immune system. Now, listen to me. Mm-hmm. You never feel unwell if your immune system doesn't work. And I've said this, you know, since I've been in alternative media since 2008. I've said this so often, people should already know the story from me, except the new ones won't, that when a cancer patient says, you know, I was never sick a day in my life. I went in and I had an ingrown toenail, and my doctor said, hey, they need to check you out. They ran the test, and I have stage 4 cancer. I was never sick a day in my life. If your immune system doesn't work, you don't feel ill. So what did these WHO monsters do? They took a bunch of mice, or rodents, I should say, rats and mice. They shut off the immune system either through chemical means or they have certain strains of mice that are genetically bred that have no immune response.
Mm-hmm.
They literally filled every cell in their bodies with these viruses, the very ones like murine leukemia. The very ones that Judy is talking about.
Mm-hmm.
They filled up every damn cell in their bodies with lethal. Listen to me. These viruses kill. Every cell in their body was contaminated with it, and the mice were running around like there's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Who does that remind you of? Like everybody I know.
Yeah.
I was sick every day of my life for over 40 years. That meant one thing, Charlie. I had a functioning immune system. Everybody else that was exposed to these chemicals and diseases that I was exposed to, they had not a care in the world, and they looked the picture of hell. They were the mice, because then what happened? The WHO in their wisdom said, okay, let's toggle the immune system back on, and they did. The mice either got glomerulonephritis, kidney disease, that either severely disabled them or killed them. Or they just fucking died outright. Why? Because of the cytokine storm. Why? Because the body is a one-trick pony. It knows only one thing. See infection? Turn on flamethrower. And so these mice were running around. Not a care in the world. The world was their apple. Everything was fine. They were loaded up with lethal virus. Their immune system got toggled back on. And all of a sudden, they're fucking dead. Why? Cytokine storm. Why? Because their immune system in its programming, and there's nothing wrong with the programming. Not need to understand that. That's the way the immune system works. But it looked around and said, oh my God, every cell in my body is infected. I think I'll deal with it. And so literally these mice attacked every cell in their body and it killed them.
Right.
It's where we're at, Charlie. It's war. It's biological warfare. This is where the world is at right now. And so if they're installing stealth viruses into us, all they have to do is toggle the immune system on, and we're going to see literally millions of people die. And what do you do about that? You know, the military could drop dead. The military is the most vaccinated population on the planet. And in fact, one of my list members says, she believes that they're merely carriers so that they can bring all these exotic diseases to foreign places. They're typhoid Marys, basically. And if your military is gone, which doesn't work for us anyway, if your cops are gone that work against us anyway, what's left? You know, you and I and Clint and Judy and Angry and Joe Spener's dead, we're looking around going, okay, now what?
Yeah. Yeah, well, she said something about, like, the people that are infected like she is, and, like, there's so many of them that she believes that if they do come out with something and say everybody's got to get injected with this or that, she said we're dead. So
So
are you still there, Shelley? She said what now?
She said that there were so many people that were infected by this XMRV and all these other things that they were working in the lab. They were working with these things in the lab. She said that if they do something and come out and say, all right, people are going to get injected with this COVID, you know, vaccine or whatever, she said they're dead. They're dead.
Oh, they're dead. Okay, yeah, that's the part I didn't hear. And, you know, hey, listen, that's why I came up with the webpage 123dead. Mm-hmm. And when I came up with that, I was looking at this as like a stealth weapon. We're in a full frontal assault now. I don't think they care if a million people are going to die, because who's going to do anything about it? Who's going to stop them? And so back in the day, they were slowly, you know, just below the threshold of perception, culling the herd. Now they can drop a million at a time, and it just it won't matter to them. They think that their game is done. But I do see, and it took too long, Charlie. I was expecting pushback much sooner and much stronger. There is pushback. It's happening. I feel comfortable enough to keep doing what I'm doing and let the world go mad around me, as opposed to being involved in it, because the politics.
Yeah, that's all shit.
No answer. There's no answer.
There. That's all shit, you know.
Yep. Okay, so let's stay on the WHO memos, the XMRV, the bovine, not bovine, the murine leukemia virus. They're all in us because they're retroviruses. They all got in us because they shot it into us on purpose. Corvelva is an independent agency in Italy that after 220 years after Jenner, finally decided, hey, let's take what's inside of a vaccine. You're telling me in 222 years, nobody's ever bothered to look? And they did, and they found horrors, including murine leukemia virus, including the XMRV. It's all there. Why? Because they shot it into us on purpose, including one of the vaccines they examined had worms in them.
Yeah. Well, they were talking about something that the reason that she knew that these people had been infected was because they had something called reverse transcriptase, which is something that these retroviruses I don't exactly know how it works, but the reverse transcriptase is there when the retroviruses are there.
Now, we could do yet another show. I really don't want to jump
in. No worries on that. I mean,
it's important, though. It's important. What we're facing, Shelley, is psychological warfare as well as biological warfare. They always work on multiple fronts. So there is a crowd out there that say viruses don't exist. And after I started pushing back against that, because I've got like two or three videos that address the viruses don't exist, mimetic war.
Right.
But this is psychological warfare.
Yeah. Well, what I think what was saying was, if these viruses are in us, we are viruses, we are bacteria. These animals, these mice, and think they have viruses of their own. They have viruses and bacteria of their own. But when those viruses cross species, then we're in trouble, right?
Okay. See, I understand what you said.
Mm-hmm.
I don't accept the premise. Mm-hmm. And that's why I said this could be a show for another time.
Sure, sure.
In that people say, and because the meme changed, it went from viruses don't exist, well, viruses do exist and they're part of us.
Mm-hmm.
And see, I don't accept either of those premises. And I came out with videos to address that. And that's why I say, ooh, really deep subject, don't want to jump into that.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole idea of a retrovirus is, and this is what the WHO memos were working with, is retroviruses, is it incorporates itself into the host. So it doesn't belong in us, but it's basically living in your kitchen and eating your food, man.
Mm.
So let's jump on that another time?
Sure.
I wanted to follow a golden thread because
sure.
we went from and you brought
XMRV.
Up Epstein Barr. So let me just throw this out there. This is a little segue to kind of like try to gracefully get out of that topic range.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Mel Thornburg says that Epstein Barr virus, which was the kissing disease, which was mononucleosis, which was chronic fatigue. See how they do all these name changes?
Mm-hmm.
Epstein-Barr may be a particle of Lyme. So when you break these things up, they have like the outer surface proteins, those fungal antigens that kill our immune system. They also have endotoxins that make up the cell wall of the organism. And there's other little junk on the inside. And for right now, let's just talk about the spirochete called Borrelia, because that's the one they always attribute to be in Lyme, but Lyme is 25 different things. Well, if we just look at Borrelia and we start to break it up into particles, even Lyda Matman, the genius, said, you know, some of these particles get so small that you could almost consider them viruses. So, Shally, let's just do a segue. Let's make a bridge between that topic that I don't want to touch
mm-hmm.
and what is possible. That if you hit Lyme with antibiotics and it starts to break up like a spaceship, you know, trailing parts, those parts might be what we call viruses. And if those viruses have the components of what is called Epstein-Barr, which is mono, which is the kissing disease, which is chronic fatigue, then, oh, my God, did you really have Epstein-Barr, or did you just have, basically, and I'm going to say it, Lyme shit? Because the Lyme was, like, shedding all these different particles, and one of them happened to be the ones taking out your white blood cells. And,
right.
See, part of what Lyme does, your Bartonella can live in a red blood cell. Your Babesia can live inside. I'm talking getting inside a red blood cell and living in there.
Right.
Your Ehrlichia, your Epstein-Barr, which is virus. So Ehrlichia is, I think it's one of those crossover things. We won't talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we won't talk about the biology of it.
Right.
But Ehrlichia can live in a white blood cell. What does that mean? Epstein-Barr can live in a white blood cell. What does that mean? It means that even if you had a problem and your body put out the cytokines and it wasn't a storm, it was just, hey, yeah, we need some help here, and the white blood cells showed up, and they were kind of like rent-a-cops, and they go, I don't feel like dealing with that. Because the rent-a-cop was infected with anaplasma. It was infected with Ehrlichia. It was infected with Epstein-Barr. And so, you know, the cytokines called it onto the scene of the crime, but it goes, I forgot my gun. I don't know. I think I'll take the day off. That's what we're in for. We're in for a body whose systems that are useful and necessary have been basically put offline. So the white blood cells are there. They just aren't doing a goddamn thing.
Hmm.
So we'll take that and we'll segue away from that. Let me now, because you know we're developing this huge picture that should make people you know reach for their Walmart-sized jars of Paxil. Let me tell you something that I recently sent out to my email list, because I was trying to work out what the hell is going on with this Corona bullshit, because it is a pandemic. It's total. There is nothing about this that isn't a inside joke. Fuck you, Goy, thing going on here. So I said to my email list, I'm going to pull out the body of that text. I was talking with one of my little red hens, and we spent a couple hours on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to know about gain of function. Now, Shally, are you aware of that phrase?
Yes.
It's really important. Gain of function is where you bioprospect for an organism that may not be able to harm a human being, or it can harm a human being. It just has no access to get inside of the cells of the human. So you piss around with it, and you basically Frankenstein it until it can kick your ass. That's called making a biological weapon. That's been banned for longer than I can, pull to memory. It's warfare. It's biological warfare. Not allowed, okay? Gain of function. So what did Fauci do? Well, he was at the helm when they gave, like, 7+ million to do gain of function on corona in Wuhan. Why in Wuhan? Because...
moratorium.
Say it again.
The moratorium here.
Yeah, they were trying to make an end run around a law. It's illegal. Okay, so what should be done to him? I'll let the people figure that out. I think he has lead deficiency, and high injection, high velocity injection might cure something like that. But me and my red hand were talking about it. She wanted to know about gain of function. And I'm going over the details of it, and I said, well, wait a minute. You know, you're talking about corona now in 2020. When I was working with Patricia Jordan, we're not related, but she's a veterinarian. I met her through Rebecca Carley. She had shown me that probably in the 90s, and I'm still looking for the date. You know, they sanitize stuff. They've taken stuff off the web that I used to have, like, instant access to. I'm trying to find the citation where Thomas Jefferson University, maybe in the 1990s, was doing gain of function on rabies. They amped it up so that it had a 94% kill rate. Because there is this little problem that rabies, in its different, because rabies is not just one thing, there's different mutations of it. Some of it has a hard time getting into, or in through, I should say, the blood-brain barrier.
Right.
And so what did they do? Thomas Jefferson University, okay, I'm naming the terrorists, domestic terrorists. They did gain-of-function on rabies, biological warfare agent, and they made it 94% lethal. That's warfare. Why are these fuckers still, around? Shut them down.
Right.
Okay, and so I knew about that like 20 years ago, and now they're talking about it with corona. Well, let's keep going. I had notes in May of 2020 that I wrote to myself, because sometimes I'll have like inspiration, and I have to write it down quick, because if you go do the dishes or pull weeds in the garden, you forget what the hell you're thinking about. So I wrote some notes that I wanted to understand this continuum, because all facts are connected, between Babesia, which is what it is, it's northern malaria. So, tropical malaria, it gets all the big attention because it's a pretty devastating disease. But we can get Babesia, which is found as part of the Lyme disease collection, from a mosquito bite, for God's sake. Babesia is northern malaria. Malaria is a parasite. And that's okay, and let's do that. I think one of the reasons why I have had less severe problems with Lyme is because since the 90s, I've been taking Hoda Clark's parasite herbs. Now, another big name in Lyme is Alan McDonald. He's a forensic pathologist. And he said, you will always find filarial worms. These are almost microscopic worms that come in with the tick bite that carry. And see, this is what you were talking about. The filarial worms carry the Bartonella either on them or in them.
Mm-hmm.
They get a free ride. And these little worms, they like to burrow. And so they can burrow into your cerebral spinal space and get into your freaking brain. And so if you've ever heard the term neuroborreliosis, these worms are like the school bus that carry the Borrelia through your spine, into your brain, and then offload their cargo. And all of a sudden, you've got basically tertiary syphilis, because syphilis is a spirochete it'll burrow into the brain and it'll give you dementia. You with me so far? How many people do you know that have dementia, for God's sake? Well, neuroborreliosis is where the Borrelia come in with a worm, get into the brain, offload the Borrelia, and the Borrelia start corkscrewing through your mud pellet. Dementia, neurological disorders, mood disorders,
right?
On and on and on. Charlie, this shit has been covered up since the 1940s.
Very easily done with this society.
Exactly. Because why? Because people have worms in their brains, man. It's easy to forget. Mm. And that's why I have to take notes, because this stuff is hard to put together. So I have had an easier time of it because I've always taken parasite herbs since the 1990s. But Babesia is a plasmodium parasite. It's not like a worm, but it can wiggle its way into your red blood cell. So what I wanted to understand, though, Charlie, is Babesia is malaria. And I was in New Guinea. I was taking a fancy form of malaria medication as a prophylactic. Chloroquine is some nasty shit. Hydroxychloroquine is the second generation of nasty shit, and it's still nasty shit. And that's what the old President Trump was saying, hey, yeah, we ought to try that. And he caught a lot of shit for it.
And right, so did any of it work? And if it did work, why? And if that's another, we don't have to talk about it, we just make a note.
No, we do. We do,
okay,
because
right.
this is where I want to go, man. I love okay. it when you do that. You're always bringing up the next logical step. Okay, does it work? Oh, hell yeah. Why? Because it's not about the goddamn corona. I'm trying to tell everybody that Babesia gets into your red blood cell. What does everybody say in the alternative conspiracy realm world about what's going on with corona? It messes with red blood cells. What did Charlie say? Well, Charlie said that, you know, you can have an organism riding inside an organism riding inside an organism. What if the Babesia, which is a plasmodium parasite, was host to the coronavirus? Now you got two nasty pieces of shit inside your red blood cells. You with me so far?
Okay.
So if you were to use an anti-malarial medication and it helps with the corona, but Patrick Jordan is saying, don't look at the corona. They're covering up for a 1940s pandemic biowarfare agent, one of which includes Babesia, then it would make sense, wouldn't it?
Right.
That the hydroxychloroquine would work.
Right.
And you know what they did? Sons of bitches, I got an article that said, yeah, it did work, but because they wanted to discount what Trump was saying, and see, I don't take sides in any political
right,
arena.
Right.
I don't care about Trump. I'm completely, I do not care. I don't hate him. I don't love him. He's just another puppet of the Elders of Zion. I don't care. But if he said that it didn't work and then they had to discount him, then what they did, and this is classic, they took lethal levels of hydroxychloroquine, gave it to patients, the patients died, and they said, well, see, it didn't work. And what is that? This is why my website is called Vaccine Fraud, because fraud and murder have no statute of limitations. And if we come out of this thing on top, Charlie, these people need to be extincted.
I know, man. I know. I did a transmission the other night, man, and I was like, if I could get my hands around Fauci's neck, I would not let go. I would not. Gates too.
Never contract out to a piece of lead what you can do with your own fingers.
Right. I just said, I was like, I wish I was strong enough to get my hands around both of their necks and then just squeeze.
Okay, let's do this.
Smash their friggin' heads together.
Let me do this with a smile on my face because, you know, now this is the entertainment part of our show. We're not advocating violence.
No.
We're not talking about, you know, doing anybody in, but if you really wanted to do somebody in, a grandmaster in martial arts said, you ever watch TV and they have both hands, you know, with the web of their thumb around the outside of somebody's throat, and they try to throttle them. And they go at that, you know, because it's Hollywood, it's TV. They go up at that for minutes and minutes and minutes, and it's just, you know, they're still fighting, and they're not going down. He says, do you realize that if you just take your two thumbs, and you still got your hands around the person's neck, you take your two thumbs and you press as hard as you can into your into the windpipe, they're gone in a few seconds.
And that would be too good for Fauci.
Oh, Gates. We won't say that. They'll just let people hear what that grandmaster said and, you know, go on with it.
Gotcha.
Because that was the entertainment portion of our show.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want any violence against them. I want to see them behind bars. I want to see them, you know, I want to see everybody involved in this absolute destruction of lives behind bars, you know. And I mean, that's what, you know, Mikovits said. She said, you know, there's a way to, there's a way out of this, but we have to, you know, we have to realize that we've been deceived.
It's going to be bloody, Shelley. It's going to be bloody. And Rebecca Carly used to say, I want a glass prison in the desert and stick them all inside the glass prison, Macon.
Yeah.
With cactus and really sharp rocks.
Yep. So sorry I took it in such a despotic direction.
So. Let's see, what we're trying to do is I'm trying to bridge the gap between Lyme, that is a clear and present danger and is a biological warfare agent and has been with us since the 1940s, as being covered up because it's out of control.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I see about the health of everybody across the world is a result of Lyme. And so they came out with Corona. Come on, people are afraid of a common cold. You got to be shitting me. People weren't even afraid of Ebola, and that's, like, even worse. Did you notice that Ebola went away?
It did.
When there was enough public interest? Killer viruses, pandemic killer viruses don't go away just because people don't give a shit anymore.
Yeah, right. Oh, we stopped thinking about it, so it got pissed and just left.
Oh, but, yeah, see, it got a cell call from Saddam Hussein and Bin Laden.
Yeah, yeah.
And now it's vacationing in the Caribbean with those two.
Yeah.
So, what I was looking at is what is the relationship of chloroquine to malaria and chloroquine to Lyme? Well, they might have this, and it's called Trojan horse. They might have this symbiotic relationship where, because we all know that they were doing the gain of function with Corona in Wuhan, and they grafted in HIV and something I can't remember right now. They basically hybridized it. It's called making a chimera.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just Corona. But if everybody remembers, because that's another problem, memory is a survival trait. Short memory is a problem because MERS, the Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome, and SARS, those were Corona. So if we do give a nod to Corona being part of a biological warfare gain of function process,
right,
then all the way back to MERS, that was their beta test.
Yeah, that's right. I thought for sure that SARS and MERS were just a lead up.
A lead up, exactly. It's like they kept using gain of function to see if they could come up with a functional bug, and so the tragedy, but the humor of this is that for all the work that they did to weaponize this shit, they're still cooking the books, because when they shut down the medical industry, kids stopped dying of SIDS and shaken babies. Why? Because they weren't getting the fucking vaccine.
Yeah, they weren't addressing anything else. Yeah.
Nobody was being treated for any other diseases, so death rates literally went down, and because the WHO owns the ICD codes, they had the code for corona for everything just to pad the death results because nobody was dying of anything else. And we can go back to 1974 when Israel had like 3 or 4 months of the doctors being on strike. The death rate in Israel went down by 50%.
Right.
I have these because I was there. And I wasn't in Israel in 74, but I was there as a kid watching that news report in 1974, and it stayed with me ever since. That's how I can pull these things up to memory, because memory is a survival trait. I remember all the shit. I went fishing for the data. It was still out there.
Yeah.
50% death rate decrease because the doctors were on strike. So one of my list members said her sister made a joke. Well, is it a joke? Some guy went up to the 13th floor of a building and jumped off and died of COVID halfway down.
Mm. Yeah, I heard that's when it gets you the most when you're flying through the air.
They're passing everything because they can't make up for their loss of death. So another video that I'm working on, Shelly, is called Unintended Consequences. So for all that they're trying to do, and they really are puppeteering the world, they're nearly feet complete on what they've done to turn this into a literal hellhole.
Mm-hmm.
But there are still things that, oops, they didn't account for that, or they did account for it, but it got away from them anyway, because less people have died, Charlie. They with the total amount of people that they accounted for Corona, they can't even match the annual flu deaths.
Yeah, because, I mean, most of these are just, I mean, even the flu deaths, you know, and I think that, and I've said this, that the that they mark things, they do the same thing on some level with the flu so that they can get people to be afraid so that people will go out and get a flu shot. Okay. So.
And, well, let's go to this is what Clint would do every time. He says, just go to the source. Let's go to the CDC, which I did, you know, back in 2008. I'm reading these CDC publications going, what the fuck? Everybody needs a flu shot. Well, why? Because it is a virus that can weaken your immune system and you might die of pneumonia. And it's like, wait. Because, you know, I have consumed massive amounts of data for the past 20 years nonstop. And there's sometimes when you go, what? I got to read that again. You need your flu shot because it might weaken your immune system so that you die of pneumonia, because hardly anybody dies of the fucking flu.
Right.
That's from the CDC. Now, of course, the beautiful thing is you turn the page and they go, and by the way, we have this 24-valent pneumonia shot that you should get. And it's like, wait a minute. Wait. You don't die of the flu, you die of pneumonia. And now you want me to get the flu shot. Why? To protect me against pneumonia? No. You got a vaccine for that. And see, one thing I do know, my pathophysiology book that literally changed my life has a tiny little citation in there. It says, influenza A can affect the human body to the point of making it look like Parkinson's disease. So they were, and this is my pathophysiology book. So, you know, they're mainstream medicine, and so they're making it look like the actual flu itself could lead to Parkinson's disease. And I don't discount that, Shelley. But when you're tricking your entire elderly population into getting a goddamn flu shot, when flu doesn't hurt anybody.
Right.
And everybody that I know from 50 years on up are losing their minds from dementia, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, all sorts of dementia.
Sure.
It's the goddamn shot.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, like, Mikovits said something about in Bergamo, which was one of the heaviest hit areas in Italy, if there was one, they got some kind of trivalent flu shot.
Right.
And I mean, exactly. All these people, all of these in these elder care facilities, these homes, these people are getting flu. You can only imagine that they have the nurses just come in and out of these places and be like, got to get your flu shot, got to get your flu shot. So they're just murdering these people.
Exactly.
They're murdering them under the guise
exactly
of.
It.
Yeah, and people just
I love me some Vernon Coleman. He's an English retired physician.
Mm-hmm.
He calls himself the old man in the chair, and he'll just sit there and read you his narrations, and he literally said it's genocide. He said if it was black people, the whole world would be up in arms. If it was teenagers, the whole world would be up in arms. It's elderly and crickets.
Right. Well, what happened with the the CDC when the William Thompson guy, whistleblower guy came out, and then Rappaport was all over it talking about the autism, and I think it was the MMR vaccine or something, and then how it affected black children more so than white children.
Yep.
And then Kennedy Jr. went to see Farrakhan and told Farrakhan about it. I think he was supposed to speak or something like that, but he did a video. He couldn't be there, but he did a video. And then there was this march on the CDC regarding that particular event. And of course, none of these fucking garbage news networks covered any of it.
Exactly.
You know, and, you know, it's just disgusting, man. It's just so unbelievable. And I don't know. I mean, it's discouraging,
talk about
but
what
hopeful.
People call justice. I don't like that word, and I don't want to go into the background on it. But let's just call this balance. If balance was to be restored, then you know what? The news companies, all of the social media that are doing the censoring, that's called co-conspiracy to a crime.
That's right, man. No doubt.
See how deep this is? The whole world is indicted in a crime against the biosphere.
Yeah.
See, I'm not limiting it to just human beings or pets or whatever. The entire planet has been assaulted.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So let's, if you don't mind, and you
sure.
know, interrupt any time, let me try, because I want to make a circle. I want everybody to follow what I had come up with on bringing it out of Corona into Lyme. I was looking at Babesia, northern malaria, gets into red blood cells. Red blood cells are affected by Corona. Babesia is treated by an anti-malarial drug, hydroxychloroquine, just like Corona. Then we look at something really strange. See, my problem is I got memory. And my memory can go back, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember seeing when the U.S. military went into Africa, isn't this interesting? And they wanted to test a malaria vaccine. This was Gambia or, one of those countries. I can't remember what the name of it is, and they did it again in another country. So I'm not sure if I'm getting the second country or the first country when I say Gambia. They had a malaria vaccine. It was only a test. It was experimental.
Right.
They used rabies vaccine and called it a control. Now, if you know anything about science, people should be jumping up and down on the couches right now going, what the hell did he just say? They did not use saline injection. They did not use placebo. They did not use absolutely nothing, which basically, Charlie, a control would mean you do nothing to the other person. They shot these people up with rabies vaccine, and one of their findings was that, oops, I was in New Guinea. People chew malaria medicine like Pez candy.
Mm-hmm.
It goes hand in hand. So in Africa, I just assume it's the same way. They found out, let me read the quote because I don't want to get it wrong. Chloroquine, that's the really nasty shit before hydrochloroquine, I noted in several of my books, interferes with the antibody production after rabies vaccine. So basically they were saying, oh, shit, you know, these natives, they were eating chloroquine, and we gave them a rabies vaccine, and we couldn't check for antibodies because the drug itself interferes with making antibodies to the rabies pollution. So all I'm trying to do here, Sholly, is show that when I pull these things out of my memory, and I'm trying to relate to, like, the 1990s to 2020, I'm seeing these really damn strange connections and wonder, well, what the hell is going on here? Because almost called him Bush. Trump said, try hydroxychloroquine. And they attacked him for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They did that unless that drug interferes with the next step in their program. And this is another big thing, Sholly. And, you know, I'm sorry I'm dominating this entire conversation.
No. Not at all, man.
These are huge. Don't call it a vaccine. Because they say, oh, yeah, and we're working on the next corona vaccine. Bull fucking shit.
They're not.
They're working on a genetic rewriting tool using messenger RNA that is brand new. Now, what Jenner did, they called it a vaccine. What they've been doing ever since Jenner, they call it a vaccine. Make no mistake, those are genetic rewriting tools, but they are made in a certain way. They are made in the way that a vaccine has historically been formulated. And so what they're doing, this is typical herd handling. They think, and rightly so, that human beings are idiot animals, and if they just say vaccine, everybody go, oh, yeah, vaccine. Because in my latest meme, I have to make up my own memes so that we can handle the world around us.
Mm-hmm.
My meme is, if you say it like it is, then there is no debate. They're not saying it like it is. Because if they said, we're coming up with a messenger RNA genetic rewriting tool that will destroy your humanity. You know, torches and pitchforks.
Mm-hmm.
But they say, oh, we're working on a vaccine. And everybody goes, oh, okay. Whatever hydroxychloroquine does might piss with their next step, which is this quote-unquote vaccine that is not a vaccine. So we've got a connection between corona, Babesia, which is Lyme, rabies, gain of function. We all know that the SARS and MERS were just like, you know, that those were the beta tests to work up to where we're at right now. And here's some quotes. And this is the killer. This is where you chop off their balls and mail them to them, you know. What do you call it? What's the slowest mail that they got now? Parcel post.
Right.
They mail their nether regions back to them parcel post. This is a quote. Chloroquine is in clinical trials as an investigational antiretroviral in humans with HIV-1 AIDS and as a potential antiviral agent against chikungunya fever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that other virus that I want to say twice is a nothing virus. It's like they go out into the bush and go bioprospecting for a disease, and then all of a sudden you'll find it in, like, urban populations. Oh, you got chikungunya. Really? What the fuck is that? Oh, some virus from, you know, the outback. Well, how did we get it? I don't know. It must have came in. Well, they bioprospect it, release it on the population and see just to see what it would do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, biowarfare. But what it's saying is chloroquine, which is, okay, now, to be clear, chloroquine can kick your ass. It's some bad shit. Hydroxychloroquine is second generation. It's still some bad shit, but it's not as bad as the first one. But, you know, think about our conversation, Sholly. You brought up Judy. You brought up retroviruses. HIV mm-hmm. is one of the things that they were grafting in
mm-hmm.
to the corona in Wuhan. HIV, they were putting it in the fucking virus. And all of a sudden, chloroquine is an interfering agent for that. And so when I read something like that, I don't care if you think the orange man is good or bad. That was a gimme. That's one of the times when, even if he was wearing a yarmulke at the Wailing Wall, even if his drunk family is a highly placed Shemite, because he wouldn't get to be president unless he was family. I don't care about any of that shit. That was a gimme. That was like, hey, yeah, try this out. And then the power structure that usually would just take out a president for actually doing something like that basically discounted it. And the sheep just go, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, whatever. Because they're so numbified, they don't know or care anymore. Nobody knows anything about science. Nobody knows these quotes. Nobody even knows to chase these quotes down, which I will continue, Charlie. Mm-hmm. Quote, some evidence indicates it has a genetic basis and is related to chloroquine action with opiate receptors centrally or peripherally.
Okay.
Now, let me see. I like to give props to my little red hens. They're the best people in the world. I could not do anything that I do without them. I spent years working with Granny Annie, who was, you know, one of our celebrities. She did a show with me on the Higher Side Chat, if anybody wants to check that out.
Mm-hmm.
And she is the sole reason why I have, like, hours and literally hours of videos, and I mean hours, on herpes and Lyme and lupus, which is nothing but, and this is, listen, this is continuum. I've been talking probably for a couple hours now, Shelly, and I'm talking about how Lyme is everything. And I'm telling you right now, check out my videos, because lupus is Lyme. That's one of those named diseases where they go, well, we really don't know what causes it.
What is Lyme? What did you just say is Lyme?
Lupus.
Oh, lupus. So okay. Right. Okay.
Lupus erythematosus, and they have different gradations of lupus.
Mm-hmm.
One of the highlights of lupus is arthritis. What do you get when you get a tick bite? You usually get arthritis in the knee. What do they give for lupus? My pathophysiology book says, well, we really don't know why it works, but quite often, you're going to love this. Hydroxychloroquine, anti-malarials are used in lupus.
And what are they made of? What is this hygiene? Because, I mean, I know we spoke before about antibiotics like that. Fluoroquinolone?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fluoroquinolone. Fluoroquinolone. Fluoroquinolones.
Related. That's why this shit is so dangerous. They're related, but they're not chemically the same.
Okay.
So one works on parasites. The other works on God knows what the fluoroquinolones work on.
Yeah, well, you were saying that it was the... It was the antibiotic of you know, last hope or something.
Well, yeah, black box warning. And, you know, and Clint can speak to this because he was given some Cipro.
Mm-hmm. They're in the same family.
Once you get that shit, it will so destroy your mitochondria. It will so destroy your connective tissue. I know people that had only one dose and they're still reeling from a single dose. So you have to ask, Charlie, was it really designed as an antibiotic, or was it just, and this, see, me and Granny Annie, me and Sandwich Lady, we've been working on several different topics in the background. Granny Annie has since passed, but we work on these continuous projects, and it makes you wonder, were the fluoroquinolones, Cipro, floxacillin, were they actually antibiotics, or were they merely chemical warfare agents released just to see what the fuck they would do? Because there's your beta test.
Right.
And I'm looking at everything as a military operation. Everything.
Sure. Right, to see what it would do, right.
But I mean, like, when I heard about them, I went online and typed it in, and there was a Forbes.com article on the Flora Quinlones.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, you don't want any of this shit, basically, in so many paragraphs. You don't want any of this shit. Forbes saying it.
Right, exactly. Which should make your balls crawl up, even if you don't have a set.
Right. Forbes
is saying that. You know, right. That's another give me. That, you know, and people talk about, you know, the black magic's requirement. I don't really subscribe to that. I don't think it's the case. I think that they're criminally insane and they love to self-aggrandize because they don't think anybody's going to call them out on it or do anything about it, that they actually tell you what they're going to do before they do it. I don't think it's like a black magic's law that they have to, you know, equal out the playing field and tell you how they're going to kill you before they kill you. But, like, my God, Trump and Forbes are giving you everything that you need to know, and people are still walking around with their fingers up their ass? Oh, my God, Charlie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So let me just close, and this is all of my rant. After I'm done with this short little paragraph, you and I can take this anywhere we want, but I wanted to show how Continuum closes full circle to looking at Corona, looking at Lyme, looking at the work that Clint and I did on prions. Another one of our top researchers has codenamed Rooster. He and I were looking into how anti-malarial drugs could derange proteins. It's called denaturing or conformational changes.
Mm-hmm.
And see, we haven't gone deep enough. I mean, this is heavy enough stuff on the surface, but we haven't gone deep enough to find out what that relationship is. But we did find that these drugs change proteins, and so we need to know what that means with respect to prions.
Mm-hmm.
So now we've come all the way back from Corona to Lyme to anti-malarial drugs, to prions, and I'm working on this as a project to find out how so long ago, when Clint said that our own SOD, superoxide dismutase,
mm-hmm.
can be prionized so that it's no longer effective, it's like, wow, we got a lot of smoking guns in a very long chain. How did this start mechanism action, and how will it end? How do we correct it? And so I'm always, Charlie, looking for people to help us out because, like I said, I can only work 26 hours at a time before I start hallucinating.
Right.
End of my rant.
No, it's, as I said, whatever's on your radar is what is the most important when we're talking. And so I'm just kind of curious, maybe there's something in those Mikovits breakdowns and in that file that I sent you. Now, I don't know if you have PowerPoint or presented. Do you have PowerPoint software?
When Microsoft, which is a spyware company,
mm-hmm.
when they package like the free trial of Office,
yeah,
you get PowerPoint, and I can bring it up, and I can view it. I just can't manipulate it.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, well, that's cool. And I mean, that's fine, too. But there's also...
I will be able to read it. It was just so dense. Because, you know, I know the level that she writes to. She was NIH.
Yeah.
I know the level of her science, and I'm looking at those papers, and I'm going, there's not enough pictures, man. I need more pictures, too many words.
Yeah, well, I mean, this was a pretty, this particular document was of major importance to some of the, you know, some of the scum that put her in jail for the time that she was in there. But you can also download OpenOffice.
Oh, okay.
You can download the OpenOffice, and it downloads word processing presentation. So it will open up that file. That software will open up that file.
Yep, I had that at one time.
Okay,
yep.
And it's free? You just grab it, yep, and you're good to go.
So when Judy had certain of her videos removed from YouTube,
mm-hmm,
one of them that I thought was one of the most important things she ever said is, yep, if people get this vaccine, you can expect, and she names the number in millions, maybe tens of millions of people dying.
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't consider that alarmist. I consider that somebody saying, you know, we're in the middle of a war and the big one's coming.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, because they need to, I mean, this is their way of controlling people with the medical martial law, to fool the ones that are easily fooled,
yep,
with fear, and the people that buy that, you know, if you wear a mask that you're protecting yourself and you're protecting others. I mean, it's just, it's really sad. It's a sad state of affairs, that people are such shame, fearful cunts. Sorry for the word, but I mean, but I get it. Like, when people don't know, they just don't know. And they look at this world and they look at these flattering titles of people,
yeah,
to tell them, and especially Fauci with his, you know, that gravelly old 80-year-old voice where he's such a nice, for one of the first conversations I had with this one guy standing, waiting to get into this, health food store. And he was like, yeah, I like Fauci. I was just like, you shouldn't. Bless you. Did you sneeze?
How could that even be? I like that guy.
Right.
He looks like a beady-eyed used car salesman.
Yeah.
That I wouldn't even trust to turn my back because he might try to reach for my wallet.
Yeah, like, I don't know what his what they did to him, what they have on him, but he's been there for a long time, and you know, he's tied in with Gates and he's tied in with all of these global, yeah, organizations, and I can't think, are they covering up? Because that's what she said. You're saying that they're covering up for Lyme, that's the real pandemic, and she said something to the same effect, like they're trying to cover up something. And then somebody said, well, how come we haven't been able to autopsy these bodies? And what would they find? What do you think that they would find if they were to autopsy the body? Like, this one guy said that this guy, Cameron Seidel, who was in New York at the time, said that these people had some kind of like altitude. It seemed like they had some kind of altitude sickness.
I remember that. Mm-hmm.
And then soon after that, they moved him out. So he's on Twitter. I follow him on Twitter. But I can only think, like, when I see these things, because a lot of the hospitals were empty. A lot of these, yeah, New York hospitals were empty. So where were these thousands and thousands and thousands of people that were dying if these hospitals were empty on these days and around these days when they said that, oh, there were, you know, the hospitals were overwhelmed, and these guys walked down the street and said, it's at Elmhurst, I think it was one of the main areas. They were like, where the fuck is everybody? Where the fuck is everybody? You know? So, you have to think, like, what was this guy saying this because he wanted, because the hospitals were relatively empty, and he was saying, you know, he was painting a picture of an overwhelmed hospital. You know what I mean? So it's like, and then even these other women, there was this one woman that said, I'm a nurse, but I'm not working in any hospitals, but I know somebody who is. And she said, and they're killing people. These people don't have to die, but they're killing, mm-hmm, them with these ventilators. Because,
yeah,
they don't need ventilators. They're not, Seidel said, they don't have pneumonia. They have some kind of what seems to be some kind of altitude sickness. And then, of course, Mikovits saying in Bergamo, these people in September or October, right before the supposed all of these deaths happened, they were given this trivalent flu shot.
Right.
So
let me paint a picture for you, Charlotte, because what happens in alternative media is people will pick a guru, and that's like picking a denomination.
Mm-hmm.
And some people say, no, it's all 5G. Nothing else but 5G.
Right.
And then people will say, well, it was a bioweapon. Nothing else but, you know, 5G has nothing to do with it. It's a bioweapon.
Right.
And then somebody else will say this, that, and other thing. And people, and it's called divide and rule.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get denominational about it. And what I have come to accept is all of the above. Now, I've heard rumors that if you take Corona and you take a little bit of water and you put both of them inside of silicon nanotubes, that the immune system can't see it. See, they could have injected coronavirus chimeric hybrid inside of people with the flu shot. So, you know, it's like a stealth delivery system.
Right.
And those nanotubes would just stay there. And some people were saying that the corona itself was activated by a specific frequency. Well, let's just do all of the above. If it was nested in water in a nanotube and the frequency vibrated that nanotube apart and liberated the virus, then you still have your 5G. You still have the virus that affects red blood cells. You still have the altitude sickness. And you still have there was the bunch of autopsies done in Italy that said, you know, and they did it against orders. They said what they saw was massive vascular coagulation.
Right, right, blood clots.
And so if they were given blood thinners, everybody survived and walked out of the hospital. Well, consider what I was just telling you earlier and bringing this to the realm of Lyme. The Babesia, the northern malaria of Lyme, does what? It gets inside the red blood cell. I can't remember what the mechanism is of corona affecting the red blood cells, but then people say that the 5G can be tuned to a specific frequency that interferes with oxygenation.
Hemoglobin, yeah, 60 hertz, something.
You see, it's like, don't pick a side. Don't pick a denomination.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I consider everything. I consider every aspect of it until...
I think, and because a fellow from the Pentagon told me, the military always operates on these two foundations, asymmetrical warfare and full-spectrum dominance. So asymmetrical means they know what they're doing, we don't. Usually what it means is if you sell F-16 fighters to Israel, then you sell broken crop dusters to the Arabs. That's asymmetrical. But the other thing about full-spectrum dominance is don't get hung up on 5G. Don't get hung up on bioweapon hybrid viruses. Don't get hung up on this, that, and other things. Throw it all in there, because if it's possible to use, they will use it.
Right. Yeah.
And so Italy was the forefront. Italy was the Corvelva, an independent agency, looked at what was inside vaccines and said, hey, half the time they don't even have the label and ingredients. And then all of a sudden, because, you know, I was promoting the hell out of that. I go all over social media and I post Corvelva stuff everywhere.
Gotta call him back now. Hey. Shit.
Are you still there, Sean?
Yeah. You said Corvelva, and then and then it just then the call just dropped. But we're back.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
So Corvelva looked at the vaccines and said that for most of the labeled vaccines, the labeled ingredients weren't in there, and there were just tons of unknown and horrific stuff in them. Nobody ever bothered to check before, and then the entire country is taken offline by a fake pandemic. what they were probably doing is preventing Corvallva from having access to their new fake vaccine that isn't a vaccine, because if they took a look at that, then they'd be able to tell the world what was in that. And I can see continual reprisals happening in Italy. This is the first time anybody's ever challenged vaccines at the actual manufactured level.
Right. Hmm. And have they spoken out about it? I mean, they even used fake pictures from a 2013. It was a hangar, an airplane hangar, some kind of hangar that had wooden coffins with red roses on them from a 2013 event that somebody pointed out that they used on the media. They even used a hospital in Italy and said it was in New York City.
Right. See, I love that stuff because I've watched Wag the Dog so many times.
Right. I have to watch that. I've never watched that, but I'm definitely going to
do
that.
Oh, my God. Oh, please do.
I'm going
to.
You know,
no cost to you, because I don't like having people spend money to indulge in Hollywood nonsense.
You're right.
But the movie is spot on.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I can't take any of this seriously. You know, people are dying, but not from what they say. And it is tragic. We are in the middle of the war, and the future looks pretty damn grim. But I gotta laugh because it is a kindergarten pageant, man. They're cobbling shit together. But the reason why they do it, the reason why they call them goy, you know, basically idiot herd animals,
right,
is for the most part, they act like idiot herd animals. So
oh,
that's
sure.
why they treat them like that.
That's true. It's true. They've done. It's not their job to make you intelligent or smart or bright. It's their job to dumb you down. It's their job to destroy your ability of discernment. And that's what we see with these knuckleheaded freaks out here, that they just, you know, there's a lot of people that you see that inherently know, Patrick, they know that there's nothing to be afraid of. Because you see them walking around, you see them outside with a mask. The only time that they wear a mask, if they have to go into a store, but then there's these people you see driving around with masks, walking around with masks, and that number is relatively low. But there are a lot of people out there that I really, really do think that know that they feel that this is not, you know, this is not something that we should be afraid of, because they don't know anybody who's died. I mean,
right.
look at this. I mean, they canceled the hockey and the basketball and the baseball season early on, and there's no dead baseball players, and most men who follow sports, you know, would know right away. There's no dead baseball players from coronavirus. There's no dead hockey players. There's no dead basketball players from it. And the cities are banning any kind. They're still banning any kind of gatherings until February of next year.
I love that.
So
yeah,
it's like, you know, it's just outrageous on its face. Most people know and they realize that there's something wrong. And like when the conversations that I have with people, I have to kind of reel it in. Like I made a joke. We were. In the mornings we have like a meeting where we do like a, you know, an online meeting, and then they're sitting in there and people are talking about the gym. All the gyms are closed. You know, are they billing us, you know, every month or anything? And then one of the guys talked about a gym that was up the street, like right down the street from the office. And they were talking about, yeah, well, maybe we should go over there. And they were talking at one point, maybe we should go over to that gym. I said, yeah, I drove past there the other day, and there was a sign. It said closed until no one ever dies again.
Oh, man.
And then there was just silence on the call until somebody just realized that it was a joke and started laughing. But it's like, you know. You just,
wow.
The conversations that you hear. And that, I saw that on a meme on the internet saying, hey, you know, let's shut down everything until nobody ever dies again. And I'm like, okay, so we're worried about this and that. We're worried about, you know, we don't talk about the servicemen, right? The people in the military that commit suicide every day. That's not on the news. They don't talk about that because they don't want you to know that people are in the military are committing suicide because they won't get anybody to go and join up for the military. And largely it's just ridiculous to see where they've taken this and the absolute clown world that it's become with these mayors that are kowtowing to insanity, you know, kneeling, and these governors and everything. De Blasio is just, I mean, if there's, and I won't say what I was going to say. I mean, I know that when I said that I would choke Fauci's life away, that was a little extreme, but I wish somebody would. And so as I'm looking at this, and you see Cuomo and you see all these people that are just, they're just, you know, foaming at the mouth with all this power and everything that they have and what they're doing to shut things down, pretending to care about life. They're pretending to care about, and I don't know. It's just bizarre to me. It really is just one of the most bizarre times. And I've been getting very, very frustrated, and it's just clown. It's a clown world. It's just so fucking ridiculous. And, you know, I do see a lot of it, and, you know, I don't want to wipe everything down. You know, people say, hey, listen, or I would say to them, like, listen, okay, why don't you take some personal responsibility and wash your friggin' hands before you, you know, touch your face. You know, wash your fucking hands and do whatever you have to do before you touch your face. Don't worry about what I'm doing, you know? And then just the up and down thing, like your dog could give you coronavirus. You know, kids are spreading it around. They can take it to grandpa's. It's like all this stuff. This one story that I'm sure is a total, total bullshit story, unless this guy in the military got vaccinated or something. And he's 37. He lives in Ohio. He's got no family, no wife, no children. And on his Facebook page, now here's where the shaming comes in. On his Facebook page, he said, I'm not going to wear a mask. I'm not going to kowtow into this, this fake stuff or whatever. Next thing you know, the story is he gets sick on July 1st and then he dies on July 4th.
Oh,
he gets sick on the July 1st and then he dies on the 4th. And then the story is, look, remember what this guy said? And then it was on Reddit. The story was on Reddit. And then it's, when I went in there to look at the comments, it said, oh, this string was shut down because of too many horrible, like, you know, like people laughing at him, serves him right, that guy, you know, saying it wasn't real. And then he died from it. I want to say, file that story under complete and total bullshit. He's got no wife and no kids, nobody that, no way to even reference whether this guy actually died or not.
Right. Or if he even lived.
That's right. But there was a picture of him, like this really stupid face, up close on the, you know, on the screen. And I can only think that, you know, and you've heard, and there's been any number of these stories that you see, and it's like, this guy was a denier. This guy was and now he's dead. You know what I mean? And it's like, really, really. And then you think, they've been lying to us. They were saying that the hospitals in New York were overwhelmed and everybody was getting tested. Where did these thousands and thousands and thousands of people that are infected? Okay, CBS had to bring their own people into the testing line because nobody was there to get tested.
Oh, wow. See, I didn't hear that.
Did you? Now this was Project Veritas. That one guy from Project Veritas said they had to pull, CBS pulled their own people. They had to get people to get in line. So as they were filming it, it would look like people were there wanting to be tested. and then Florida, right? They opened up the beaches and all these other places, and then, oh, you know, 100,000 infections in one day with a test that was never, ever supposed to be used for infectious disease.
Right. See, that's the disconnect. When you just look on the surface like that, it's easy to find what you just said. Mm-hmm. And so somebody that is not skilled in what we do, not aware of what we know,
right,
if they just got that entree into, wait a minute, this looks like a put-up job, this should have been over a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So what's holding these people back from basically capitulating to reality and saying, hey, this is a put-up job? So, you know, to me, I'm just going to speak from myself. I would always assume that evil people will always attempt to do the most evil that they can possibly get away with.
Sure.
That's just a given.
Mm-hmm.
That's the nature of the beast.
Absolutely.
But how fucking stupid do you have to be to fall for it?
Well, I mean, we had, 9/11, which was, you know, kind of like a 1 or 2 or 3 day event, you know. And this has just been 4 months, you know. It was like 2 weeks to slow the curve. 2 weeks to slow the curve, to slow the spread. We don't want to overwhelm the hospitals. Next thing you know, the citizen journalists go out and say, where the fuck is everybody? There's nobody here. The news said that this Elmhurst hospital was overloaded with people getting tested and people, you know. When people heard this and all this stuff was going on, I guarantee you 97% of, if not higher, of New Yorkers were like, I'm just staying home.
Yeah.
You know? And the people that were going, the people that were going out would be like, if they're going out and they're not scared, why the fuck would they go get tested around other people? It doesn't make sense. Their numbers are all lies. All lies.
Right. What happened was I was cruising YouTube, and there's what they call the citizen journalist,
mm-hmm,
with
yep,
literal live footage of clinics and hospitals that were fucking empty. And the beautiful part about this kindergarten pageant is that the rebuttal to people going out and actually showing the fraud, you know, we got to call it what it is, they were being denigrated because they were breaking the quarantine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, they achieved so many different things by the lockdown. They achieved so many things. They could use it 2, 3, 4 months down the line saying, look, even Trump said on the Michael Savage show that the reason why 2 million people didn't die was because now. So just imagine you're Trump and your ambitions and everything. And I come to you and I say, listen, this thing is not as infectious as it is, but we're going to do whatever we want to do here. And you have to, like, Trump would absolutely go along with this because he's going to say everything that we did, like he said on Savage's show, everything we did made it sure that 2 million people didn't die. So he has to go along with this to save any face.
Right.
He's going to have to go along with this. And it's exactly what someone, he's kind of a narcissist. Let's face it. He's a narcissistic guy. He's been rich his whole life. He got a loan, a $1 million loan from his dad to, you know, start his life. you know, his professional life. And, you know, and so he says these things. But when they told people to go home, and now they're telling people to wear masks, this is so they can say, you know, we're in this together, you know, this collectivized propaganda. We're in this together. We're in this together. And and you guys are the reason why there wasn't 2 million dead, that there was only, 120,000, which that number is absolute bullshit, total absolute bullshit. Not to even mention the trucks that where they said these dead bodies were in, because they didn't have anywhere to, you know, so So I don't know if I asked you, I said, what do you think that they would have found if they were allowed to? Well, they would probably find these people with lungs that were collapsed, right? Something like that, Patrick?
What I'm looking at is a full spectrum, because I forget what personality it was that revealed that the WHO owns the ICD codes. So if you're going to use them, and you have to for insurance purposes,
yep,
they dictate how you use them.
Mm-hmm.
So the WHO told all doctors everywhere that if of course it's 80% false positive, if a positive result came back for corona, that was listed as part of the death.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have to use that ICD code. So
to get
obviously,
paid.
People were dying of infinite numbers of different kinds of conditions. And so did they die of the intervention, like intubation?
Mm-hmm.
They die of the blood coagulation.
Right.
This is only if they actually had the virus. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But if they didn't have the virus and it was a false positive, then they died of fucking natural causes. And so that's why you would do the autopsies, to find out, well, what the hell killed them?
Well, I mean, you know, there's this thing that Mikovits was talking about, I think this thing called ITP. And I think I know that one of my cousins had this. He had a blood clotting issue. His blood was clotting all the time. So from a young child into his teenage years, until he got hit by a bus in New York City and killed.
Oh.
And I'm wondering, like, I'm trying to piece this all together, because when I found out that he died, this was a number of years ago. Maybe 2011, I think, that he had been on, possibly had been on blood thinner, for, you know, to some way. And this, and there's no doubt that his condition, as soon as she said this ITP and this blood clotting condition, I knew that that's what he had. I knew that that's what he suffered from. And I mean, like, you're in New York City. I've been in New York City before, and I've, you know, I'm pretty aware of my surroundings mostly. I'm just wondering if, like, whatever drugs that he was on, or if there were new drugs or something that he was using to be able to stop any kind of clotting or anything, maybe that kind of wigged out his head. He got lightheaded or something, wandered into the street, and then bam, you know. But yeah, this cousin of mine, second cousin, he had this, what Mikovits talked about, this ITP, where they fucked up and he had clotting. So maybe this had something to do, like, whatever caused that clotting thing with the blood was something that plays into this.
This is something that I got to write a note to follow up on.
Mm-hmm.
Corona and neurological effects. They're now blaming everything on corona and saying, yeah, sure, it can get into the brain and cause, you know, X, Y, and Z conditions. Well, the reason, Shali, that I spent so much time at the beginning of our talk going over the aspects of Lyme is Lyme can get into the brain and really mess things up.
Yeah.
So did the Lyme bring the corona with it? Because like you were saying, we're looking at Trojan horses, where a large parasite can host bacteria, and the bacteria itself can have a virus inside of it. So they're like delivery systems. So were people suffering from neuroborreliosis and all that comes with that, or corona, that they're now blaming on all these neurological conditions, or was it, as I'm always going to say, all of the above? Because nothing happens in a vacuum, and Lyme has been here since the 1940s.
Right. Right. And then I thought at one point through the process, I'm like, could the chemtrail geoengineering, could that come into play here? Could, with respiratorily speaking?
Oh, no doubt. Listen, it was before the season. So I think it was like very late November. And out here on the farm, I get really superstitious. If I don't put up a snow fence, then I get amazingly high drifts. You could climb them like mountains.
Right.
If I do put up a snow fence, then it doesn't snow. So there was a good day in November, and I figured, well, I better put up that snow fence. Mm-hmm. So I put it up, and I was watching these chemtrails. It was the heaviest activity I've ever seen in my life, and I counted 30 planes laying out 30 grids within 30 minutes. I'd never seen anything like it.
Right.
Now, if we just presume that they're 40,000 feet in the air, within the half hour that I was out there, how did a suspendable particle 40,000 feet up come down to affect me? Because within that half hour, I got really ill.
Really?
How does that happen?
In November?
Suspended aerosols. Said again.
Right, sure. What were you dealing with?
I just felt ill. And okay. The only way I could describe it is it felt like I had the flu. I was tired. I had body aches. I just felt like not right in my stomach, not right in my head. Mm. And, you know, I...
How long did it last?
Close enough to putting the fence up that I could just go in, and it took me a day to recover. But how could a particle that's suspended in the sky do that? Well, if we look at the... Is it Garth Nicholson? And he talks about chemtrails. The company Merck was tasked by Congress to come up with a disease that there was no known immunity to. And so the legend, you know, the urban legend of that is what happened was that they invented AIDS. So Merck invented AIDS for Congress because they wanted another biowarfare agent.
Mm.
But spin off of that is that they took Brucella, which is a nanobacteria, and they crystallized it, took out the nucleic part of it, and they were able to absorb the crystallized nucleic material of a nanobacteria, put it on aluminum, and they can dump it in chemtrails. So pretty much, if that's true, see, I don't have ways of verifying this yet because I don't have the lab equipment to do it. If that's true, then we've all been exposed to a genetic rewriting tool, a weapon, that came every time we breathed aluminum from chemtrails.
Wonderful.
And so, you know, I've been tracking chemtrails since 1997. We're in a world of hurt. Shali, I really don't know why we're still alive.
Hmm. That's a good question. Which is why
they must be trying to kill us with every available method, because we just keep coming like cockroaches.
Maybe there's some kind of divine intervention, man. I don't know. But we need something, man. We this is not what we were supposed to be.
No, listen. Everything about this is like a video game. I studied video games. I played them to understand what was going on. Why do people get addicted to them? What is the gameplay? What's the purposes behind this stuff? And I learned this one game well enough to be able to beat it. And I noticed that the software had like a method of, even though I could anticipate what was coming next and I did all the right moves,
mm-hmm.
it would still make me lose. And so when I look at life in general, we are in a fixed game where everything that is presented to us as an option is what I call the false binary choice. You want to be shot in the chest or stabbed in the back. Either way, the outcome is bad. But even if you learned that and you tried to compensate for it, it has its own compensation that it will make you lose still, even if you have the skills to try to defeat it. So we are in a bad situation, and something really big has to happen really quick.
And what, I mean,
obviously they created something, or to some level, something is created to be able to be non-lethal. Because, I mean, why wouldn't they just, you know, throw something together? Not saying that that's not on the table, but throw something together that could really just start, like, boom, just whacking people, you know, like dropping like flies.
That exists.
Yeah, but
You have to think about this logistically, because what I understand of these creatures, they're allergic to work. That's why they'll still keep us around as pets, certain of us. They're basically just going to have a world full of autists, children autists and adult autists, because people like you and me that can think, people that are listening to us that can think, we are a danger to them.
Yeah, we're divergent.
Are these tests, are they really testing for corona, or are they just sampling DNA so they can hunt us down? So they need people to work for them. And if you think about it logistically, if you killed like a million people at one time, who's going to bury them? Because that's a lot of disease-creating carcasses. Mm. So it's logistics more than anything else that makes them work cautiously. Otherwise, yeah. I'm sure they could drop us in seconds.
I'm pretty sure that, you know, that there's a lot of land over the ice wall, so they could just be like, eh.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? it's a topic for another time, but I mean, there is prime real estate in other areas that, apparently Gates, was in New Zealand or something. Hopefully somebody or a group of people, mercenaries are trying to get them. I hope they succeed too. But I mean, that's what, honestly, there's got to be people out there that see what's going on here. Large scale that's going on here that can stop them. That can stop them.
People like us, but there's the people like you're describing on the street that they know it's bullshit, but they are literally frozen by terror to do anything about it.
I mean like military people that understand and know that this stuff was coming years ago.
Well, and see, that exists as well, Shali, but think about it. The military are the most vaccinated human beings on the planet. So do they even have the ability to resist? Even if they knew that something was so bad that, you know, some general that doesn't have his head up his ass would say, well, let's have a coup. Third world nations have a coup. Let's just take over as the military, which is an absolute possibility. But it ain't going to happen because they are the most vaccinated people ever.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's no doubt that is the case.
Basically, what I'm saying, I'm sorry to interrupt, Charles.
No, good,
it's up to us, you, me, and the listeners. If it doesn't come from us, it ain't coming from nowhere. That's Patrick Jordan's opinion after studying the shit for like 40 years straight.
Yeah, you've been at it for a while.
We're the change that we were looking for.
Yeah, I hope that, you know, I just hope that there's time for us to, you know, and I'm not even being dramatic. I mean, this is some serious shit. I mean, they can do whatever they want to do at this point.
And they are. The implementation is there. I sat down with Mimi, the queen of meme. I call her that because she can hear any situation and within 1 second tell you in a short phrase exactly what that situation is. So we're having an extended phone conversation. We're talking about the stepwise fashion on which all this happened. And I said, boy, this all went so smoothly. I said, slow down. I'm going to start to write this out. I'm starting to write it out, and then I'm making like a computer flow chart of one thing leading to the next. And I said, this is my take on it. Human beings really aren't that smart, no. Even at the elite level.
Maybe at one time.
Say it again.
Maybe at one time.
Well, and yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And so I said what they did is they went to the AI, which to me is an entity. The AI exists, and it is basically in control, and it just has like seat warmers in the form of humans to do its bidding.
The brain bug.
Have its hands yet.
Like the brain bug, right, from Starship Troopers?
Oh my God, I love them. Oh, we are on the same wavelength. So the brain bug was asked, what should we do in what order to make this happen seamlessly? And if, see, at some point, Shali, people need experience. If you've never seen the guts of an automatic transmission, it is an awe-inspiring thing, because this thing is precisely engineered, and it works, and I'm loving this, under pressure. So the hydrostatic pressure of the full action of the automobile is what drives it to go from one gear to the next, and mm-hmm. it does it flawlessly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're looking at. We looked at the entire takeover of the world in a few months, and everything worked as like all those complicated dominoes in Vias for Vendetta. You mm-hmm. hit one domino, and they all fell. That is something that a human being can't do on their own. This is, you're witnessing in real time the takeover of the world by the artificial intelligence.
Yeah. And I mean, like, you know, Greg was saying, I know you sent me something, you have to remind me what you wanted me to ask Greg. We were talking about how there was a deficit of dollars, globally, a deficit of dollars. And this was probably in January. We were talking about what was going on over in Wuhan. And he said, if this comes here, and he said, and it's almost guaranteed. And he said, and they do what Wuhan is doing over there with lockdowns. He said, they're going to start looting the treasury. And then when you look at the event 201 with the World Economic Forum, and when you look at how many, I mean, there, global governance is like 90, I want to say probably eight, somewhere between 80 and 100% at this point, because these countries are so dollar short. And because of all of the control, the global banking control, this is why countries like Italy and countries like Germany and like so many others just kind of fell into line. I don't know what the deal was with Sweden and some of these other countries that didn't lock people down.
Yeah.
And they didn't have anywhere near the, you know, they had, it was relatively small, whatever they experienced. But yeah, with the World Economic Forum and Event 201 and Johns Hopkins and all that stuff, and you can see, I mean, I sent out a tweet today saying if these people are not stopped, I said we are going to be under medical martial law permanently. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, you know, 1 through 10, it was like World Economic Forum, any organization that was at the Event 201, Fauci, Gates, you know, ABC, NBC, CBS, all these different things. And I try to send these things to people that I see that are questioning the validity of it, even the questioning the validity of the mask and how, you know, whether it's going to protect or whether it's not going to protect. And, so I try to get these tweets and these replies into some of these like heavily retweeted or heavily, threads, these heavy threads with like hundreds and hundreds. So people are going to go through them. They're going to see them. They're going to look for they're going to look for other people's response, and they're going to see some of these other things. So hopefully there can't be no pushback. There has to be some pushback. I don't know whether my pushback is going to be relevant, but what I can tell you is that I know that I crossed over Ice Cube. I don't know if you know the rapper, actor guy. He was with NWA early in his career and everything, but his name's Ice Cube, or his screen name, his rapper name. So I put in there all these different videos that I downloaded that some of them were deleted, or I thought they might be deleted, and I put them in, and I put them in some of his, tweets, figuring, okay, there's, you know, people have got to see these, right? So next thing you know, I see him saying that Bill Gates is a bunker bitch. I'm not sure what a bunker bitch is. Maybe that's people
I like
that are,
it.
All right.
and talking about vaccines, and then of course they were crushing him because of, you know, saying there were conspiracy theories and all these other things, and saying that he went on a meltdown. Everything's a meltdown because they want to tie any kind of meltdown, any kind of real pushback or any kind of real critical thinking, they want to make it look like it is mental illness. So they're like, oh, he had this meltdown about this. And then there's so many things. I even listened to, because I mean, I want to hear what everybody has to say. I even listened to Farrakhan and his and his thing that he did on the July 4th weekend. And that, man, that was interesting. If you get some time to maybe download that, listen to that. And then next thing you know, there's football players that were talking about vaccines. Because in Farrakhan's thing, he was just like, you don't want that vaccine.
I remember that.
Don't you be. And I mean, it was like, it was really interesting. So I was just sitting there listening to it. And I figured I'll listen to it from time to time. It took me probably about 4 or 5 days to listen to it in its entirety. But I wanted to hear what the guy had to say. But what the media wants you to do is like right away, he's an anti-Semite, he's this, he's that, he's, you know,
right.
So just steer anybody away from that. But I mean, there was this one guy, his name is Jackson, from Eagles, I think. And he was saying, he was talking about vaccines. He said something about, he started talking the J word. And then of course, then that was, you know, that he was attacked for saying the J word. And so things are moving in a particular direction, but you know, the system loves to steer it in their favor. And so we'll just have to see where it goes. But I love your thought process. It's always fascinating to me. I really believe that not only you, but Clint are two of God's greatest creations. And
that's very kind of you to say. I've always
been blessed
Clint as being like a genius. We've had private conversations in the past mm-hmm. where we consider our life's work. And it's like, what are we doing this for? And, you know, it's one of those existential mm-hmm. kind of like examinations.
Mm-hmm.
And we came to a conclusion that if there was something like reincarnation,
mm-hmm.
the only advantage, because, you know, he writes books as big as phone books.
Yeah, I think he's just recently finished them. And he's got the audios of them on YouTube as well. I think I've downloaded those as well.
The only advantage of doing something like that for him and me, that we don't have like millions of followers watching our cats playing piano on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have that kind of reach. The only advantage of doing the absolute drudgery work that we've done is like if there was such a thing as reincarnation, next time we come back, at least we don't have to do that background work to get up to speed.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm thinking, so what we should do is definitely it's been too long in between our last conversation and this one.
Yeah.
And desperate times, desperate measures. And I see the amount of emails that you sent out every day, and I try to, you know, kind of scan through them, and I try to fit them into my fictional, you know, taxpayer schedule. And I just, you know, I appreciate what you do, and everything, and I know that when you started doing this, it was, you know, your mom was sick and you were just doing what any loving son would do when they see their mother suffering from something. And it just led you in this incredible path. So again, I'm really blessed to have crossed paths with you. And I want to do it again and again and,
yeah.
and again and again and again in the near future to be able to kind of label this and reverse engineer this in some way, right, if it's at all possible.
I'm here. That's what I'm doing. That's all I do.
Yeah. So you provide sustenance for yourself, and you got the farm and everything. Did it even snow? Because it didn't snow where I was at, pretty much all. We didn't have any snowstorms at all.
Well, see, and this is what I predicted, because the other aspect of total spectrum dominance,
yeah,
is to control the weather.
Yeah.
So we've had, you see, I'm a proponent of global warming, because chemtrails dim the sun. Mm. Otherwise, we would be fried to a crispy crunch. So I'm a proponent of global warming, and global cooling is happening by artificial means, and that's why they call it climate change.
So do you think that's what they're doing? Dimming the sun? Because, I mean, it's actually – I've heard people say that we're actually going into – that we're cooling, and they're saying that we're – of course, they would lie and say it's their take, or the global elite take would be, oh, we're 180 degrees away from, a mini ice age.
We could go nuts debating that. Let's save that for another show.
Yeah.
So that's my take on it, because refractory materials like aluminum and thorium, which they have patent for, are supposed to reflect the sunlight back. So if we just take that at face value, I say that they're artificially cooling the planet because it is heating it up. That's why they call it climate change, because it's going in both directions at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I expected was mild winters, which we have had for about 10 years in Illinois, really mild winters, because I remember, and this is why I haven't gone to the ice wall, because in Antarctica, once it gets to 120 below zero, if there is a wind, you start to feel a tad bit warmer at 120 below. I have been in 78 below wind chill in Illinois, and I don't really give a shit if there's land beyond Antarctica. Ain't going, okay?
So, yeah.
The thing that I expected, though, Shally, is that we had delayed planting for the farmers and myself.
Right.
And my trees were really looking good, and I thought, you know, if those sons of bitches don't spray, like, toxic chemicals, I might just have a good fruit crop.
Mm-hmm.
But I told one of my little red hens, what I expect to happen is what happened in the Mediterranean, is they hit it, and now listen to my words, they hit it with a frost, meaning artificial weather.
Mm-hmm.
And the fruit in the Mediterranean was impacted. Then my little red hen, she lives in Canada, and she says, oh boy, our fruit trees got hit with a really cold snap.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like a 1-2-3, by the time those two events happened, we were already into spring, and we got a snow, which, of course, you know, below freezing temperatures, and it really impacted my fruit crop.
Hmm.
So it's like, am I growing things? Yes. I planted my garden twice. I had 17% germination. I planted my garden twice. Things are growing, but can I feed myself on it? No.
Hmm.
It's a supplement. But see, this is all part of their plan, Charlie. Now, what I want to offer to you and anybody that's listening to us is write to me, and I'll send it to you, Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
Write to me for the 1313. That's the PDF that explains how they have it's called mail order law. This all comes from the Central Clearinghouse. So, of course, one governor or one mayor or one judge anywhere in the country is going to follow a harmonized direction of how they're herding us into their totalitarian state, because they all come out of the same place. They'll be assigned to different people in different geographical areas. They might change the wording slightly, but all this stuff is mail order law. And when you talk about world governance, it is like a feat complete. The only thing that you're going to see out of the ordinary is the ones that are not signatories to the UN. So really nice vacation spots like Palestine, Somalia, Vatican City, of course, is its own nightmarish hell. Mm-hmm. And two others, like North Korea, but I think they might be close to UN signatories. And at one time it was Kosovo. You know, really nice vacation spots if you want to go live are the only ones that are outside the UN. Everything else is literally world government.
Right. Okay. So vaccinefraud.com is the website. And yep. On YouTube, just search, it's all one word, vaccine fraud, and you'll get Patrick's plethora of videos. They're very entertaining. Your production value is incredible. And generalportal55@gmail.com, correct?
Got it.
General Portal, just like general, and GENERALPORTAL 55@gmail.com. If you want to get on the email string, the thread where the information flows on a daily basis.
Like Niagara Falls.
And, you know, write to him. I'm going to get this uploaded, and I get a lot of eyes on the podcast.
Excellent.
Sometimes, you know, like even up to about 100. So we're going to, you know, we're going to get, we're going to change the world.
We are.
We're going to change the world.
That's the attitude.
We're going to do it. One conversation, one email at a time. Patrick, thanks. And I'll be in touch.
Thank you for having me. Yeah,
all right. Yeah, it was great, man. It was so good to talk to you. And I'll be in touch, and there's big things. We're gonna be doing big things, man. So
good.
Bless you.
Thank you, man.
Have a good night. Bye bye. All right, that was Patrick Jordan. Gonna get this uploaded and listen and spread it around. You can get it out there. And, you know, this isn't, you know, we're not in Kansas anymore, and we never were. We never were. This is critical, critical shit. These people need to be exposed on so many levels, or our lives will never, never, ever be the same again. So, thanks for listening, and, you know, be good to one another.